I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the honor and absolute privilege of being joined by my darling friend and dear sister, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Today, I believe we're going to discuss something that is rarely talked about, in all honesty. And what better platform, what better show to discuss it than Muslim Lady? We're going to be talking about daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
And how did the noble prophet treat his daughters? In history, in historical accounts, you read that he had a gracious behavior towards women in general, and specifically towards his daughters, and also the girls in his family, because he married women who had daughters, who had children from their previous marriages. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of love.
Stepdaughters.
Exactly, to be with the Prophet.
The stepdaughters of the Prophet of God. The exactly. stepdaughters of Prophet Muhammad.
I remember reading somewhere that the Prophet would respect the children of his wives a lot, because he believed that if you want to respect a woman, you have to respect her children. This is amazing. Nowadays, there are a lot of divorces.
It's revolutionary.
Exactly. Just how open-minded, how sophisticated,
how empathetic he was.
How emotional, how psychologically elevated, how understanding this man was. Even nowadays, after 1,400 years, these so-called gentlemen, you know, they marry sometimes women with children, like who were previously divorced. And one of the main problems that arises between a couple with children from their previous marriages is that they cannot establish a good relationship. I mean, the woman with the man's children from the previous marriage and the man with the woman's children from her previous marriage. Mm. So a lot of like chaotic situations arise just because they do not know how to treat these children.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the woman does not have much choice but to respect and to treat the man's children well, because she is not in a power position in the family. But the man who is more in the power position, he needs to be very wise, and he needs to be well aware of the consequence of him treating the children well in order for him to establish a good relationship with his wife. Mm. Now, this was something that the noble prophet knew and acted upon.
Even though he had the position of power.
Exactly.
You know, the most powerful man in the world, he was. He had all the rights. The family line that he had, the position that he had, the lineage that he had. But he was just so kind and merciful and so just, so fair.
Especially towards girls and daughters.
More of that after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
I just wanted to take your attention to the fact that all these become even more noteworthy when you do understand the very low position and stance of women and girls in the society where the Prophet used to live.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So in that context, when you read that, it's like...
It's a big deal.
It's really a big deal. After giving birth to Qasim and another son, who obviously passed away, now whenever the news of a baby girl reached the Prophet, what would he do?
He'd rejoice.
He would show his joy and his happiness.
And his gratitude.
His gratitude to first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his wife, and then he would, you know, celebrate in a feast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted him a daughter.
Beautiful. This beautiful during a time where, as the Quran notes, if the news of a daughter reached the father, his face would turn black from fury and wrath.
Exactly.
And he would turn away from his people out of shame. And he would be mocked and ridiculed. And his wife would be
humiliated. And he didn't know to keep her with shame or to bury her alive.
Bury her alive.
This is at that time. And but unfortunately, we said that three of these daughters died while the Prophet himself was still alive. And for their death, when Ruqayya died, the Prophet himself buried her. Fatima obviously had lost a sister, right?
Mm.
And he would soothe Lady Fatima in a very emotional way. They passed these tragic moments along with Fatima and Khadija. This was very beautiful.
And this just comes to show that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through every tragedy a human being can endure.
Could possibly have, right.
Right?
Right?
Name another human being who lost their parents, their most beloved spouse, their children, their guardian, whether it was their grandfather, their uncle, their other uncle, Hamza alayhi salam, who died in the most vicious, brutal way, and went through social discrimination, was shunned by his own community and his own tribe,
right,
was ridiculed, was slandered for being a sorcerer, being a poet, being a madman.
I know.
Putting spells on people. He who was known as the most trustworthy, the most logical, the most intelligent, the most kind among his people. He went through it all. And at the end of the day, when he was about to pass away, this might be a little irrelevant, but I feel like this is just, you know, little pockets of opportunity we have to celebrate the existence of our Prophet.
The magnanimity.
Exactly.
Of his essence.
Exactly. When Azrael came to take his soul, Rasulullah asked, "Are my people going to suffer?" And Azrael told him, "This was nothing. This was nothing. I was the most gentle to you." And Rasulullah was worried about us. After every tragedy and pain he went through, he did not lose that aspect of humanity, kindness, being mercy for all of the world.
This is such a beautiful point you just mentioned.
And we don't deserve him. We just don't, because we don't appreciate him enough.
That is so true. One thing I just wanted to correct myself was, when Ruqayya passed away, Khadija had already gone.
Died, yeah.
Because she passed away
after Hijrah, yeah.
Obviously, when Ruqayya passed away, it was only Fatima and her
father. Which makes it really even more sad.
Yeah, exactly, because there's no mom to console her.
Exactly. And Rasulullah must have felt that this is the remnants of my beloved wife.
Exactly.
And they're slipping away from me one by one.
Beautiful. Something that nowadays the psychologists are putting a lot of emphasis, and educationalists are saying, is that if there is a good relationship between the father and the daughter, because usually girls look up to their father, and they take him as their role models, especially
as their standard, really.
As the standard, exactly, of the male sex later in their life when they want to
allow into their lives.
The relationship of the noble Prophet and Lady Fatima, you can get very eye-catching information that you can use it in your own relationship with your daughter.
Now, Rasulullah, well, he really set the standard pretty high for the men we could allow in our lives.
Well, because girls are worthy of that standard.
True. Stay with us.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
we're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The noble prophet had immense love for Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, right? Historians, you can see in many places of history that Messenger of Allah would kiss Fatima. He would put his head on her chest. He would smell her and say, "I smell heaven from Fatima."
That's beautiful.
Of course, you know, Fatima...
She was a special person.
She was a special, you know, she was a huri, right?
She was an angelic entity in the body
of a human being,
right?
Yeah,
in the form of a human.
So she was actually the yardstick of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's satisfaction on the earth.
Mm.
If you wanted to know what Allah would be pleased with, you would look at Lady Fatima's conduct and her pleasure and her content. And if you wanted to see where is the red line, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this is the no zone, no entry zone, Lady Fatima's conduct again was an instance or an indication of whether such an act was appropriate to be carried out or not. I think we can understand that maybe, perhaps we could say that the respect of a father for her daughter should increase according to the spiritual level of her daughter.
Of course.
Of course, there's a minimum love and emotional support and respect. But then this special love that the noble prophet showed her daughter, and she, you know...
Among all his other daughters.
Exactly. It was uniquely for Fatima because Fatima was very unique.
MashaAllah.
Right? Whenever she entered into the presence of the noble prophet, he stood up, approached her, kissed her hand, and let her sit in his place. Reflecting on what happened and how she died, and that her grave is still hidden, and no one but the Imam of our time knows the whereabouts of Lady Fatima's grave. And you know that how she passed away, completely dissatisfied with some people of the Ummah, and you know that her dissatisfaction is the dissatisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened after the demise of the Holy Prophet and her reaction to certain people, it makes quite good sense of what the true way of guidance is and was. So it's like her consent was like a political guideline for like people who don't know what the right
direction
course of action
is,
was and what was the wrong. Fatima said it. With her action. She said, "Ya Ali, I don't want anyone
to attend my funeral.
But to attend my funeral. Because I am not happy with them."
She made a political statement.
Right.
Basically. Because, and I think it's because, I'm sorry to cut you off, that she wasn't heard, you know? She wasn't heard the way she had to be as a member of the society, as the daughter of the most prominent person in that time, as the owner of so many things that were usurped from her. She had a voice, she had a right, but she wasn't heard out. So she had to go through desperate measures to indicate to people that this isn't cool. I'm not happy with the situation at all. You guys have wronged me, my family, the rights of this nation, the rights of my father on you. And I think that in a way is a lesson for us as well, that if you're not heard, you have to just look for different ways and methods to make a stance, to stand for what you believe in, to stand for your own rights, to fight for yourself. What's correct, basically?
And no matter how weak you may seem to be in your society, but the impact that you can leave for ages and for generations to come, don't take it for granted.
MashaAllah, yes.
Right?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for that enlightening and interesting perspective, that light you shed on this aspect of history. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something. Something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.